listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Transfiguration hymn, A Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair. The transfiguration of Jesus is mysterious. It is at the same time quite obvious. Jesus attains a kind of glory in his incarnation, in his human flesh, that is reserved only for God. He is attended by prophets, Moses and Elijah. He is even proclaimed to be the Son of God, and the voice that comes from the glorious cloud speaks to those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, saying, "Hear him." Well, what does that mean? Especially since two of the prophets and the authors of the Old Testament are standing there with Jesus. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus' Transfiguration, according to Luke chapter 9. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Luke tells us that Jesus took Peter, John, and James when he went up on the mountain to pray. Why did Jesus take those three disciples?
Those were his disciples that he had a real favorite for. In fact, this isn't the only time that this occurred with those three. There was one time where he took Peter, James, John, and Andrew. But normally it's these three, especially when he's in a private conversation with them, because he considered them as those who were kind of leading the disciples. Peter, of course, remember he's the one confessed Jesus as the Christ, and upon this rock that church will be built, namely the rock of Peter's confession. And the other two also were close friends, so that Jesus, it's not at all unusual that he would sometimes only take just those three with him in various situations.
What did the disciples see when Jesus was transfigured?
What they saw was, and this is in Luke chapter 9, that his face was altered. A lot of times we think of the transfiguration that his clothing became dazzling white. I don't know, Todd, what you think of a movie called The Shack. It's also about a book, a wonderful book that I had looked at years ago. I'm going to be talking about it on Friday, on Open Mic Friday. But in that book, a man goes to a cabin and he meets the Holy Trinity. And the Holy Trinity, well, the Father is a black woman, the Son is an Indian, and the Holy Spirit is, I believe, a Chinese woman. It's very interesting. A lot of people don't like it because of that. But we need to realize that God looks differently, even in the Bible, Jesus does. For example, on the road to Emmaus, the disciples could not recognize him because his face was altered. So what he looked like, we're not really sure, but his face was altered, his clothing became dazzling white, and that's what they were looking at. And they were also seeing two men talking with him, and that was Moses and Elijah.
So what is the significance of Moses and Elijah appearing there in Christ's glory?
When we talk about the New Testament, we often divide it into the gospel and the epistles. Similarly, in the Old Testament, we would talk about the law and the prophets. The law, the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the prophets, the other books of the Bible. Sometimes there was a third designation, and the writings. But it's no doubt that Moses was representing the law, and Elijah was representing the prophets. And throughout the whole Old Testament, Jesus appears again and again in different forms. But for example, in Moses' books, there is Jesus eating with Abraham, and he brought along with him two angels who went to Sodom and Gomorrah. So Jesus could appear differently to different people. And at times, they did not recognize him, or they thought it was someone else. In fact, even after his resurrection, you'll remember the woman at the empty tomb thought he was a gardener, did not recognize him at first. So he could alter his appearance, and it certainly appeared that that did happen on the Mount of Transfiguration.
It says that these two prophets, Moses and Elijah, spoke with Jesus about his departure. What does that mean?
Yes, it's very good to take a look at the original Greek there. The word departure is actually the word exodus. And of course, what are they talking about? They're talking about his exodus from earth. And so they were probably talking about the crucifixion. And they were talking about what they had already heard from the Old Testament, namely his resurrection, and probably also his ascension back into heaven. And so that was the discussion they were having. But if you'll recall, Jesus had told the disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem. He said that three times just in the book of Mark, that he would die by the scribes and the Pharisees, that would be on the cross, but then 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. Well, it appeared that none of the disciples understood this to the point where they recognize what Jesus is saying. In fact, during Advent, my sermons I'm going to be doing are going to be on the basis of the word behold, because the word behold means more than just look at. It means that when you behold something, you also understand it. And the word is found countless times throughout the Bible. Behold, when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, behold, he was the King of Kings. Now, people did not understand fully what that meant, because those who were praising him on Palm Sunday had no real understanding that by Good Friday, he would be being buried and then on Easter Sunday, rise from the dead. So this is something that both Moses and Elijah, namely the law and the prophets, had spoken of many a time. In fact, the book of Isaiah, which is part of the prophets, talks about that he is going to be whipped. The Lord's going to lay on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 is just a wonderful chapter of looking at what's going to happen to Jesus. And of course, in the books of the law, you've got Moses talking about that he's going to be one who is going to die as a seed of Eve. And in the process of dying, that's his being wounded by the devil, he will crush the head of Satan. And then you have Psalms, so many of them, where it talks about there's just no doubt that Jesus will be pierced in hands and feet. Psalm 22 is an excellent psalm to see actual items that are going to occur. Like for his clothing, they're going to cast lots. He's going to be pierced in hands and feet. He will become very, very thirsty. And of course, that is referring to the execution by crucifixion. And it appears that's what they were speaking about, that Moses and Elijah. And it says, by the way, who appeared in glory. So in case people don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, there's no doubt that Elijah was taken right up into heaven. We don't really know whether Moses was, because he was buried on a mountain. But of course, even when he was buried, his spirit was in heaven with Jesus. So whether we're just seeing the spirits of Moses and Elijah appearing in glory, or whether or not we see them in flesh and blood, the fact is they are there, and they're speaking of his exodus, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem.
When the disciples wake up, what does Peter say in response to what they've seen and heard?
Well, you can only imagine that with this transfiguration, this brilliant light, etc., Peter really is beside himself. And he says, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses." Now, the word for tent there is really a worship. And he wants to worship also Moses and Elijah. We can understand how that comes about. For example, when the people were bitten by serpents in the wilderness, God had Moses erect a bronze serpent. And anyone who would just look at it, they were healed of the snake bites. Well, what happened later on, people began to worship that. And finally, Hezekiah, who was king, he had it destroyed because he did not want them to be worshiping something that wasn't to be worshiped. A lot of people do that with crosses today. There's a woman I knew who wouldn't go on a plane unless she was wearing her cross, thinking that that would keep her safe. Well, there's no doubt it would keep her safe, even if she died in a plane crash, because then she would be in heaven. But the fact is, poor Peter really gets it messed up. That's why we often refer to him as hoof in the mouth Peter. He's the same one who said, "You know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "By the way, Peter, you didn't think of that yourself, my Father in heaven. And I'm going to Jerusalem to die and be raised." And Peter interrupts, "No, you're not. We'll take care of you. We'll watch over you." And Jesus says to them, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So we see here that Moses and Elijah, they also were sinners. Peter, James, and John were sinners. Every pastor of the church is a sinner. And that's who God uses. He uses weak sinners to proclaim his message, because his message is how people are going to be saved.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, talking about Jesus' transfiguration in Luke chapter 9 with Pastor Tom Baker. On the other side, well, Peter doesn't get his entire thought out before he is interrupted by God the Father.
"Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago."
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a series of sermons written by a Lutheran pastor during a late 16th century plague. The book is titled The Joy of Eternal Life by Pastor Philip Nicolai. The Joy of Eternal Life is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Find your own hope and comfort in knowing that eternal life waits for you with the new book, The Joy of Eternal Life.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical. Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan. epiphanydoor.org. 616-681-0791.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus' divine nature had been hidden from his disciples. The disciples knew Jesus as true man, but they didn't always see him as true God. Sometimes they had an idea about Jesus being true God, but they didn't always get it. In the Transfiguration, Jesus reveals his divine glory hidden in his human flesh. That's an excerpt from the Enduring Faith curriculum for the Sunday school lesson that we're teaching with Pastor Tom Baker. Right now, you can find out more about this great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House by giving them a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Transfiguration of Jesus. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. So, Tom, what happens while Peter is speaking the words we discussed before the break?
Well, the Bible says that he didn't even know what he was saying. But as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. Now, you take a look at the Old Testament, that occurred a number of times, particularly when God the Father would appear at the temple. He would appear in the form of a cloud. And they were entering the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, and here we hear something very similar to what that same voice said at Jesus' baptism, except for a little difference. This is my chosen one. Listen to him. Now, this is very important, that last part. Listen to him. In other words, this is very important to get across to the Sunday school children. You may not see Jesus today in the form of transfiguration because he was altered even for the disciples, but he's also altered in the church service. He's altered not only when we are baptized, because it is Jesus doing the baptism. The pastor's just using the words of Jesus to bring a child out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. And who would deny that Jesus is altered at the Lord's Supper, where a morsel of bread and a sip of wine are his body and blood given to us for the forgiveness of sins? This is a wonderful gift. And so Yes, we don't recognize Jesus a lot of times, and that's why it's not important to see Jesus. It's much more important to hear Jesus. And when we use the word hear or listen to or behold, we're talking about more than just understanding the words. It means we understand the wonderful teaching behind those words, and we see a glimpse into God Himself, His attributes. There's no doubt that this voice refers to Jesus as His Son. He also refers to us as His sons, but we are not a begotten Son. There's only one, and that is Jesus Christ. We are adopted sons of God, both men and women, because we all get the inheritance. And therefore, the voice is speaking about Jesus. And after the voice is spoken, Jesus is found alone. Now, why is that significant? Because Jesus doesn't need Moses, Elijah, or the Father giving the message for him. He gives the message. As he says so clearly in the beginning of his ministry, the message is repentance and listen to the gospel. Hear the gospel. In fact, when one goes through the book of Mark, you find very quickly that for Mark, the essence of Jesus is to listen to his word, which means listen to his promises. And that's what a proper pastor does in every sermon. That is listening to the promises of the gospel to comfort those of us who are weak in sin. And that is a great gift from God.
It says the disciples did not tell anyone about what they'd seen and heard. Why not?
Well, there are a number of reasons. One reason is when people hear Jesus doing these great signs, they almost immediately jump to the conclusion that he is an earthly king, a political king. The best example of that is the feeding of the 5,000, where they wanted to make him a bread king, thinking that he would restore Israel and Jerusalem back to its former grandeur. And he had to run away from them, actually. But there's another very good reason, is that the Pharisees were always looking for ways in which they could accuse Jesus of false teaching. And of course, they couldn't find any, even at the trial of Jesus on that Friday morning. So how did he get accused? He himself said that which was considered as saying that he was God. He spoke blasphemy, and therefore that was the charge that deserved death, that the Sanhedrin thought. That's the Supreme Court of the Jews. And they could not put someone to death under Roman rule, so that's how they tricked Pontius Pilate into crucifying Jesus, or else they would go to the Caesar and tell them that Pontius Pilate allowed somebody else to be king rather than Caesar. So here, how do they greet and meet Jesus? They do that in holy worship, by singing hymns to him, by praying to him, to listen while the word of God is preached to them, and the various lessons of the Old Testament, the epistle and the gospel are read to them. And finally, they see the altar Jesus in the form of bread and wine being received by those who are confirmed. And that's really kind of a transubstantiation experience. Jesus is altered, but it is still his body and blood, and they receive it to their salvation.
So In a nutshell, what should the Sunday school children understand about Jesus' transfiguration?
They should understand that Jesus takes on forms and speaks to us in ways that at first many people do not recognize. How many times have we as pastors said something from the Bible and the people listening to us, maybe they're unbelievers, deny what we're saying? Well, that's ridiculous. It either is not scientific, or it's not logical from their point of view, or reasonable, and so they refuse to believe it. But the Holy Ghost gives them faith. Nobody invents faith for themselves. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. You can deny that faith. You cannot make use of it. But when it is given and you believe it, that's why you are declared righteous through faith in hearing the words of Jesus. So what was so spectacular about the Mount of Transfiguration was not just his altered appearance, but more to the point, what the Father said, he's the chosen one to whom you are to listen. And so when we speak what Jesus says, it is what the children need to hear from Jesus himself, whether it is the baptism of an infant or giving the sacrament to an adult. They are receiving the benefits of his cross as he, in an altered state, speaks to us through word and sacrament.
What's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law of this lesson is that a lot of times we just don't recognize Jesus because he doesn't fit into what we want to believe. And so we're really unworthy to see God face to face. Remember, even Moses couldn't see the Father face to face. On Mount Sinai, he could only see his backside. However, through Jesus and through the faith given to us by the Holy Spirit, Jesus forgives our sins, gives us peace because of his death and resurrection, and now I am worthy on that last day to stand face to face, not only with Jesus, but also with God, my Father. That's the good thing that we can look forward to, and it's a prime example of the difference between the law, which can never earn us heaven, our obedience to it, and the gospel, which gives us that salvation free of charge. As we say, we're saved by grace, through faith, on account of Jesus.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. For more information on Law and Gospel, visit the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Pastor Peter Bender joins us next for part two of a series we're doing with him called The St. Peter Option, Living as Exiles in a Foreign Land. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. With 5 weeks left in 2021, we need $192,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.